Western Australian pastoral stations will be featured in a book called Red Dust Dreams, which lets you experience the day-to-day life, the hardships and the rewards of running a station in the Australian outback. The author is Lana Soares-Diggins, and she spent her childhood on Pitcairn, a sheep station in South Australia, which is halfway between Adelaide and Broken Hill. Lana, what are some of your early memories of station life?
One of the main things that stands out were spiders. I hate huntsman spiders. And, of course, they thrived on Pitcairn, as they do in most of the country. And I think travelling up and down to Pitcairn, going out the back of the station with my father in the ute, our forts, which we used to play in. We used to make forts underneath trees and in behind bushes and all sorts of things like that. But it was all outdoor stuff. Rain, when it did rain, about twice that I can remember, waking up in the middle of the night and hearing it and knowing that nobody else would be in the house. They were all out sitting outside listening to it and watching it, feeling it, smelling it. They loved it because it's such a rarity up there. I can remember the creek coming down a couple of times. When I say coming down, it's usually bone dry, but when it came down what we called a banker, and you'd just see this huge, huge bank of water coming through, and it could flood everything. In fact, I remember my father talking about a couple of major floods they had when he was a youngster. I can remember the mail coming in. I can remember seeing we only got the mail once a week, and that was the same with the groceries and newspapers, parcels, all that sort of thing.
And so what sort of stamp, what sort of impression does a childhood like that leave on you as an adult?
Okay, when I was younger, I don't think I had much of an impression because I didn't know any different. When I went down to the cities and saw my cousins, all I wanted to do was get back to the country. As an adult, in my 20s, I thought I had a very unique childhood. I still do. But, of course, going around the country, I've now seen how many other people had that same unique childhood, so it's not so unique. But I look back on it, and these days when people talk about it, they talk about their local primary schools and their local, their post office or their mail deliveries and going down to the local shops, going out to restaurants and doing all that. Of course, we didn't have any of that. And it is, embedded into my mind that we did have a different childhood. It was different, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it, and I wouldn't have swapped it for anything.
Why is it so important to share these stories about day-to-day life on pastoral stations?
I think I'm just, as I said before, trying to raise awareness, trying to educate people, and also trying to help tourism out there. Because most people I hear about when they're going to travel, it's to travel up to Bali, up to Singapore, overseas or whatever. I've completely lost interest in going overseas, and I'm trying to help increase tourism in the outback. Quite a lot of the stations, those who are still struggling to keep going, have turned to tourism. And so I've tried to include information on the station stays or whatever the ladies are doing. A lot of the mothers or women are going to online things, online businesses. Not that I know much about that. It's more the tourism, the station stays that I've tried to include. And I think I've got about four stations in there that have got those. So, yeah, it's mainly to try and raise awareness, try and teach people that milk doesn't come from the supermarket. It doesn't come free-flavoured. There is a place that it actually comes from. The same with grocery or the same with vegetables and fruit, meat and all those things. But a lot of people, particularly the youngsters in the cities, have no idea, but a lot of them aren't interested either. So I'm trying to do my bit through this book to change all that. Now, it might all flop, flat on its face, but I'm hoping to do something. I'm hoping that it might be a success there in some respect in that way.
Well, through this process and your travels and talking to the different pastoralists, Did you get a sense that much had changed since your time as a child?
It has. Some of the basic foundations haven't, but of course roads and transport and all those things have changed a lot. And a lot of my generation and the generation before mine, for instance, had to do their schooling via school of the air, distance education. I think it's different in called different things in different states. And correspondence, which is now defunct, as I mentioned. But some of the children now, because of the improved roads and improved transport and improved communications generally, can now attend the local primary schools. But I've heard that I think probably about five of the stations, maybe six, that are in the book are now on the market, and a couple have already sold, and the people have gone. So I was probably lucky to be able to visit those stations. But they've all said the same thing, that things have changed a lot, yes.
How many did you visit in Western Australia and will feature in the book?
There's five of them here. There's one in the Northern Territory, eight in Queensland, three in New South Wales, and two in South Australia. That's including my own station. So that's how it's happened. And yes, I've visited all except for the email ones.
And what about the difference or the similarities between those across the borders?
They're mostly similar. I'm finding things that are in common right across the board, right across the nation. But there are differences, which I think is making the book a bit more interesting, because there are differences and I'm trying to show those. There's a different language in each state. When I got to Queensland, one of the first things that was pointed out was this turkey's nest, which I thought was a dam. I sort of tried to turn my way of thinking around for each state so I fitted in with their language. The same with distance education. It's called distance education in Queensland, but I think it's certainly the school of the year in South Australia. So that's something I have found really interesting right round the country, like with everything else. You know, the language of the outback is also different.
Mm. And when a reader gets to the end of this, do you think it'll be more people who, from that background, who want to reminisce about the good old days of when they were growing up on a station, or do you think it's people who completely had a completely different childhood?
I would hope it's a mixture of both. I do know that a lot of the outback, or some of the outback people, have started reminiscing since I started this. And the retired pastoralists, for instance, I understand that quite a few of the men, who are the ones who have, you know, spent most of their times out on the stations, a lot of them found themselves talking to me, particularly the men, and they were reminiscing very heavily. And I think they were opening up to me because I had a similar background, but a lot of that's wasn't to go on the record, so it's not in the book. But they needed to talk to someone who has got a similar background, and they found that they had that in me. So if I was able to do that for them, that's terrific. But the retired pastoralists, I found that a lot of the men have done the same thing. Quite a few of them have written out their own stories, and a lot of them are now recording their own histories, which is terrific, because I don't think that history has been recorded. And I think it's something that has been missing for the outback for a lot of them. That a lot of them said that to me, that it has been missing. And I think we need it. We need that history. Keep at it.
Landa, great to talk to you today. Thanks so much for being part of the Country Hour and telling us about the book that you've been working really hard on.
Thank you very much, Belinda.